Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
There's a rise of a new world order. And it's not just something we're talking about. It's been talked about since George Bush, the first George Bush, said, hey, we're on the edge of a new world order. And it's talked about and proclaimed by those that are in the leadership of our country. A new world order. And that sounds so good. There will be a new world order, by the way. The Bible talks about that new world order. So we, all these things, then there's the increase of drug abuse and irresponsibility all around us. I'm talking about illegal drugs, which are all being made legal. And we talk about drugs that are prescribed, prescription drugs. I don't have the exact percentage, but I believe it was like 52%. Of the American population are on one or more medicines every single day of their life. We've become a drug-dependent culture. All of these things are taking place in our world, and there are people scratching their heads saying, what in the world's going on? I have people calling up and saying to me, Pastor, does the Bible say anything about this? Does the Bible say anything about this? Does the Bible say anything about Russia? Does the Bible say anything about China? Does the Bible say anything about this? Do you really believe? Could we be in the middle of the tribulation? And so for this week and the next 3 weeks, I'm going to talk about those things. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about the last days today. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about China. We're going to talk, see what, if the Bible says anything about Russia. We're going to see what the Bible says about these things. And I'm possibly thinking about having who I believe is the leading prophetic expert in the world today come on the last day of May and talk, just have a sit-down conversation like we did with the Whites today so you can ask him questions. His name is Dr. Ed Heinsohn, has a television show called The King is Coming, and is very, very well-versed in Bible prophecy. But until then, you've got me, and let's take a look at what the Bible says about some of the things concerning the last days. Take your Bibles, first of all, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's just look at the term, the last day, as it's used several times in Scripture, and let's look at what the Bible says is going to take place in the last days. We got 24 minutes. And we got 7 points. So we'll see what we can do in getting through this particular portion of this. This is, by the way, very interesting. And I hope that you stay awake as we are going through this, because this will really be a help. I'm doing this to help you answer the questions that your friends are going to be asking you. And I hope you'll talk about these things. I hope you'll go home and say, do you really think that meant that? Yes, that's what that meant. And look at the Scriptures. And examine what the Scripture says. Look, the Bible says this, that no man knows the day nor the hour that Jesus is coming. No man knows that. Nobody knows that. But the Bible tells us very clearly that we are not children of darkness, that we are children of light. So that day shouldn't overtake us as it will the children of darkness. We should be able to look at what the Bible says and say, whoa, that's what's happened. Oh, our eyes are open to truth. The world thinks things are just going on and going on, but we have answers. The Bible says some specific things about what's going to take place in the last days. And so we're going to look at that tonight. Father, help us to examine this and take this truth into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Not Titus, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Here it is. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Just look at this and put every politician you know, just look at this and think of this, and think of every news anchor that you know, and think of those that you like and those that you don't like, and the Republicans and the Democrats, and ABC, NBC, and CBS, and Fox News, and Newsmax, and then look at yourself, and look at the Baptists that are sitting around you, and look at this and see whether this doesn't describe us. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Do you feel like we're in a time of peril? Do you feel like people are afraid? When they announced that on the airplanes the other day that you could take your mask off, Joshua, my son, was on an airplane flying across country, and as soon as he did, he took a selfie of him and his wife pulling it off and saying, "Yeah!" That got on Newsmax that evening. People are afraid, and people are saying, "Oh no, I have my children on this flight, and they're going to die because you're not wearing a mask." Sitting right next to a person in a tin can going across the United States, and you think a filter. Anyway, God bless you. We're living in perilous times. Should we go outside? Can we go out? Somebody knocks on your door? It used to be just 30 years ago, and somebody knocked on your door and say, "Hey, wonder who's there." Now you say, "Ooh, I wonder who's there." Perilous times shall come. Why? Because he says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, self, fierce, despisers of them that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." The last days, perilous times will come. These times are perilous. The last days are described as perilous. So what does that mean? Well, if you're filling out your notes, number one, it's filled with selfish people. Know any of those? Filled with covetous people. Covetous people. "I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more." Man, people are saying, "Look, I own this house, and now, look, just 3 months ago it was worth this, and now it's worth this. Man, I think I might sell it because I can get this, but wait, no, I'll wait, because that might be 2 months from now it'll be worth this, and then maybe a year from now it'll be worth this, or maybe it'll be worth nothing." I try to remind people all the time that 2008 did come. I can remember my house took a dive and it was worth half of what I paid for it. I owed more on it than what it was worth. Now I owe nothing on it, and it's worth a whole lot more than I paid for it. Listen, can I tell you, people are covetous, boasters, talking about what I have, what I've got. Then it says they'll be proud. Evil speakers. The word blasphemers means evil speakers. They speak evil. Let me ask you a question. Today, did you hear anybody say anything evil about anybody else? Today, on the news, at home, at work, at school, it's so easy to see what somebody else did and to accuse them. Boom. It's easy to be in that situation, isn't it? Somebody doesn't treat you exactly the way you think you should have been treated, and they are a, or they did, and they are, man, there's houses that are divided because of evil speaking. And I believe the devil places thoughts in our minds about our children, about our parents, about our spouses, and about our neighbors, and about evil thinking produces evil speakers. And it's so easy. It's all around us. Disobedient to parents. We have a generation where there is no respect for authority whatsoever. A few months back, people were spitting on on police officers in New York City, pouring things on them, humiliating them. No respect for authority. Why? Because they didn't learn respect for authority when they were growing up. They didn't learn to respect their parents because a guy named Spock with pointed ears told them back in the 1950s. No, he didn't have pointed ears. That's the guy on Star Trek. But the guy, Dr. Spock, Benjamin Spock, said, "You can't squelch your child's creativity. You need to allow them to express themselves. And spanking is wrong." And parents bought that. And so parents allowed their children to disrespect them, and we live in a generation of people, several generations of people, who have no respect, are totally disobedient to parents and to all other authority. We will determine when we think that authority has overstepped their bounds, and we'll do what we think is right. Unthankful and unholy. Man, we have so much. Listen, if the average American lost half of what we have, we would still have more than three quarters of the world. And that's the truth. If you lost half of what you have, you would be rich compared to most of this world. The fact of the matter is we are unthankful for what we do have. And we're unholy. That is where we live. The last days are described as perilous, and this is what God says perilous is. Without natural affections. Without natural affections. That is the whole LGBTQ, transgenderism, abortion culture. It's unnatural for a boy to want to kiss a boy. That's unnatural. It's unnatural for a woman to want to kiss a woman. It's unnatural for a boy to want to dress up like a woman. It is unnatural for a woman to want to dress like a boy. It's unnatural for a mother to want to kill her baby. It's unnatural. It's all unnatural. And we just need to understand that. But to say that, man, you're a bigot today. That's our culture. Without natural affections, truce breakers, incontinent, without self-control. Well, they did that just because they're filled with anger and the anger was controlling them. And we make all sorts of excuses. Well, they wouldn't have done it if they weren't drunk. Then why did they get drunk? They're fierce. They're just mean. People say mean things. Mean things come out of people's mouths. They're despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. Truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, and then despisers of those that are good. There are employees of the Disney Corporation, and they claim to be the majority, that are afraid to stand up and say, no, we're not into this woke culture. But they're afraid because they're despised for being good. They're despised for believing in biblical morality. And their jobs are threatened because they will not support the ungodly agenda. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Not only are they proud, not only are they high-minded, they are doing all this wrong stuff. They think they're right. They think I'm better. The reason you're saying the things you're saying is because you don't have a brain to think that this stuff is wrong. To think that this stuff is immoral, you are a dinosaur. They're high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So back in the 60s, we said, if it feels good, do it. And we've practiced that philosophy for the last 50 years, and that's why we are where we are in our culture. then it's interesting because this happens all the time. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. All these people that are promoting all this unholy, horrible stuff that we're hearing about all the time. People, preachers, you say, preacher, I hear about this all the time. Why do I have to come to church and hear about it? Because you need to see it from God's perspective. All this stuff is justified all the time by people who have a form of godliness. Oh, yes, we love God. Oh, our dear senator friend died. He was such a good man. No, he wasn't. He was a pervert. No, he wasn't. He was a deviant. No, he wasn't. He was promoting horrible things in our country. And he died? Oh, he's enjoying his eternal reward. No, he's not. He's burning in hell. You say, preacher, that's not very nice. It's the truth. I don't delight in that. I'm just telling you that, look, we need to understand, in the last days, perilous times will come. So you say, wow, does it panic you out that all this stuff? No, Jesus said it was going to take, or I'm sorry, the Apostle Paul said, hey, Timothy, in the last days, it's going to be perilous. We're living in those times. Isn't it interesting? You got a book here that said it's all going to take place. It describes America 2021. The Bible describes it. That's not all the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. Second thing, in the last days, there will be scoffers. You say, this is absolutely absurd. you can't believe this stuff. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy. The last days, there will be scoffers. I'm sorry, 2 Peter. 2 Peter says this. Very, very clear. Chapter 3 and verses, starting with verse 3, it says this. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. That is, they are living for themselves. So they mock the word of God. Now listen. It says, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Have you heard that? Have you heard anybody say, oh, I've heard that Jesus was coming since I was a little kid. My grandparents believed that Jesus was coming. There was something that came across the news feeds just the other day. Is Jesus really coming? Is Jesus ever coming? Well, the Bible says in the last days there's going to be scoffers. That's just one thing you can look at. What are they going to be saying? They're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, since grandma died, since grandpa died, since the fathers fell asleep, since my great-grandfather died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Don't you realize everything's the same as it's always been since the beginning of creation? That's what they say. Except they don't believe we were created. We just evolved from nothing. And then it says this, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We'll read the rest of that passage in about 2 weeks when we get to exactly what's going to happen when this world goes up in flames. Oh, I gave you a hint. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be scoffers. You have any scoffers? You ever hear anybody saying, oh, we've heard about this forever. The Bible says they are willingly ignorant of these two things. Number one, of creation. They're willingly ignorant. They're saying, no, there is no creation. You have to be willingly ignorant to look at what we live on and all that goes on around us and say, this just happened by accident. This just popped out of nothing. That goes totally and completely against common sense. That goes totally and completely against any rational science. It is totally and completely unscientific. It cannot be proven. Science is science is taking something and testing it and seeing over and over. You test it 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 times, and if you have the same result from the same thing that you do over and over again, then you've proven scientifically that this is what happens. If you do A, then B happens. That's science. Nothing in evolution can be proven by science. In fact, evolution goes totally contrary to the laws of science. And yet, we are mocked for saying we believe in a creation. We live in a nation that was founded with people saying that we were endowed by our creator, with certain unalienable rights. We live in a nation that was founded on Bible, and now we deny it. They deny creation, and then they deny, which is, the evidence is all around us, and then they deny the flood, and the evidence is all around us of that. I mean, I was not an A student. But when I was walking out as a kid and I was walking through Lake Mead National Park and I was up on a hill, on top of a hill, and there was no water anywhere around, and I found seashells, I thought, woo, there must have been water here one day. You don't have to be bright to figure out if there's a bunch of seashells there. Either somebody came out and dropped them there, or there must have been water here at one time. There's the flood. Peter said they will be denying, these scoffers will be denying creation, they'll be denying the flood in the last days. In the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, there'll be scoffers. In the last days, there'll be mockers. In Jude 17 through 19, and you can see that in your notes, Jude said, "But beloved, remember ye the words that were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lust." Why are they mocking? Because they want to do what their lusts determine. "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Let's see exactly what that means. Number one, they walk after their own lust. In the last days, these mockers are going to be doing what they want to do, and they're going to mock you for doing what's right. "They separate themselves from other believers." That is, they refuse to go to church. That's what that means very specifically. They don't want to go to church because they don't want to be told what they can and cannot do. Number C, they want to satisfy themselves with their sensual desires, with the sensual desires of the world. That's what they want to do. And so they mock righteousness, and they mock those who determine to do right. Now, look, I'm not here to depress you with how bad the world is. I'm here to say this: the world is bad, but God said it's going to be. You need to understand that your God is doing what he's doing. Nothing is outside of what he knew what was going to take place. Number four, in the last days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. The last days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. In all actuality, the last days didn't start in 2020 or with COVID-19. The last days started at Pentecost. At Pentecost, Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and said, and these are in your notes, I believe, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my Spirit." Very interesting passage. "And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heavens and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Peter says at Pentecost, the last days started, and these will be the things that are going to take place during these last 2,000 years. And they're still taking place. And I say this to say, look, they're only increasing. as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. See, what does he say? He says, first of all, believers. Now listen to this. Some of you Baptists are going to scream with this. Believers, both men and women, will preach. That's what Peter said, that Joel said. That doesn't mean they can stand up, that a woman should be up pastoring a church or preaching to other men, to men. That's contrary to Scripture. But it means that both men and women that are children of God are going to be proclaiming the gospel to people and sharing the gospel with other people. Women sharing the gospel with women, they can do that in the Gypsy movement. Men sharing the gospel with men and preaching the truth of God. Believers, both men and women, will preach. Young men will see visions. They're going to have desires. This is what God says is going to take place. And I believe as we come closer to the time of tribulation, we'll see these. Old men are going to dream dreams. I tell people, I'm still having visions. Young men will see visions. There will be wonders in the heavens. And those wonders are described, and I believe this takes us, by the way, all the way through. This statement in Acts takes us all the way through to the tribulation period until Jesus Christ actually comes. So this is a prophecy of what's going to take place from Pentecost all the way until Jesus comes, and that great and terrible day of the Lord, when the Lord actually comes back to this earth. Signs and wonders will be in the earth. Signs and wonders will be in the earth beneath. What does it say? It says blood. That's violence. Talked about violence. Fire. Volcanic eruptions. During the tribulation, there'll be so many volcanic eruptions. There'll be smoke everywhere. What's going to happen? There's vapor of volcanic eruptions, lightning storms, vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness. Why is it dark? Does that mean the sun goes out? No, it means that there's such dark, heavy clouds that when you can actually look at the sun. You ever done that? You ever looked at the sun through thick, heavy clouds and have your mother say, don't do that. Don't look at the sun. You're going to go blind. My wife says that to me. And so salvation, he goes in verse 21 and says, And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So salvation will be by grace through faith, calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 21, that's what he says. So in the last days, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh. There's going to be an urgency in God's people to start sharing the gospel. And both men and women, children of God, sons and daughters of God, are going to be preaching the gospel. Then look at this. In the last day, the last days will include temple worship. People say, hey, why don't you believe that we're in the tribulation right now? Because there's no temple worship right now. However, look what it says. This is from Isaiah. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. That's not said just once. That's said twice, because Micah says just exactly the same thing. Micah chapter 4 verse 1 says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. Now that's interesting, because there is a statement, this was very interesting, because he doesn't say the Lord's house will be established on the mountain. Charlie, you'll find this interesting. But he says that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established. And today you took me to the temple mount that is still there. This doesn't say that the house will be built. It just says the temple mount will be there and people will flow into it. Charlie, do people flow to the temple mount? Today, they'll do it. It's interesting. So Israel became a nation in 1948. Jerusalem became the capital in 2018. The temple furniture is already prepared. We got to see some of that temple furniture when we went to Israel. It's amazing. Are we in the last days? Number 6, the last days began at Pentecost and will end with the second coming of Christ. Peter standing up with the 11 in Acts chapter 2, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, that these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing that it is the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of the prophets, Joel, that in the last days." So the last days began at Pentecost. But what we are seeing is what I think is the beginning of sorrows. We're seeing all around us, when we're looking at what's going on in the world, you say, wow, what are we seeing? We're seeing the beginning of sorrows. You say, where do you get that? In Matthew chapter 24, you can read it. I'm not going to take time to read it because I'm 3 minutes over. But in Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says this, that as the last days approach, Jesus is speaking. He says there's going to be, number one, false Christs leading many away. Number two, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Number three, there's going to be racial conflict. Oh, that doesn't happen. Racial conflict, nation will rise against nation. That's nationality against nationality. Famine, pestilence, disease, earthquakes. And then he says at the end of the statement, when he says all these things are going to be happening, he says, these are the beginning of sorrows. Read it in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3 through 8. These are just the beginning of the sorrows. What does that mean? It means we're not in the tribulation, but we're seeing things that are pointing to its soon beginning. See, that's not something you say, well, man, that's scary. No, it's not scary for you. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to come again and get us. We're going to talk about the pre-tribulation rapture and why we believe that Jesus is going to come to get us out of here. So what in the world's going on? Jesus is getting things ready. And we get to watch it. And we get to see what's going on. Are you panicked? Are you afraid about what's going on? You think you're going to starve? Let me tell you something. I don't think I'm going to starve because I'm going to do what Psalm 91 says. And I would encourage you to read, whenever you start to get worried about what's going on, read Psalm 91. All you have to do is read verses 1 through 10. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look, I'm not perfect at all. But if my kid is standing next to me and there's danger around, I'm going to throw my body over my kid to protect my kid from danger. God said, just stick next to me. He said, I'll put you under my wing. I'll protect you. I'll watch out for you. That's what he said. That's what Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In him will I trust. You better spend time praying to stay close to him. Talk to him. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. I'm sticking close to him. He can take care of the fowler. I don't even know when the snare is coming. He is my fortress, and from the noisome pestilence, he's going to protect me. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of night, nor for the arrow that flieth by the day. Wonderful passage of Scripture. Go home and read it, delight in it, and thank God for it, and stay close to Jesus. Say amen to that. Because there's a lot going on in the world. Father, help us to take the truth that we've heard. I pray if there's somebody that's here that's not saved, I pray for their salvation. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to be faithful. Help us to be what you said we would be in the last days. Help us to pray, to preach. Help us to tell people how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to say this. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're all sinners. Because we're sinners, we deserve to go to hell. Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. The only way you're going to get to heaven is by asking him to give you eternal life. And if you've never done that, you can do that right now. You can whisper this prayer to Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you are God. I know that you died for me, that you were buried, that you rose from the dead for me. And I want to ask you to give me eternal life. Lord Jesus, help me to live for you. Father, I pray that you'll help us to live this way and help us to share your truth. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.